All for your headline news this hour. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Please be safe and thank you for listening.
Gold Mary in the bag and tied around my neck for my protection. I'm walking around, big old sack on my back, coming in your direction. What kind of tea do you like? I got it. I'm the medicine man, herb from the land, yeah. I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Me, Rosemary, calm your nerves, got peppermint leaf to get rid of my fever. I keep periwinkle to get some love now. Whoa, I gotta hug me clothes to make my backbone strong. Gold cola tonic for my blood, dandelion for my bones, y'all. I can leave, keep away flies. Hot lady cayenne for my pressure. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Get the children out the way now. No, you can't smoke this, sir. This is for salad. Yes, for salad.
And good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of To Your Health. To Your Health is a program designed not only to inform, but also to turn your life and health around. I'm your host, Dr. Theodore Watkins, and I'm here with my trusty, able assistant, Mr. Frank Smith. How are you doing, Brother Frank?
I'm doing well, Doc. I'm excited again.
All right, excited again. We had a little vacation here a couple of weeks, so we're back in the saddle. You know, today we want to talk about something that's very common in our community, and we have some folk that can, I think, help us to elucidate this problem, and that is hypertension and some of its many tentacles. So who is going to help us today, Brother Frank?
Doc, we've got doctors, the dynamic duo, doctors Gail Porter and Doc Marilyn Hughes Gaston. Just a little bit about them. I had to pin down the highlights of their resumes, but I'm going to take a little while. Dr. Gail Porter, a renowned expert in clinical psychology with a PsychD or PhD from the Illinois School of Professional Psychology and degrees in urban studies and psychology from Roosevelt University. With nearly 20 years of experience, Dr. Porter serves as the managing researcher and co-director of the Gaston and Porter Health Improvement Center, where she focuses on addressing health disparities among midlife African American women through innovative programs like the Primetime Sister Circle. Dr. Porter is a prolific author and researcher, having co-authored the acclaimed book Primetime, the African American Women's Complete Guide to Midlife Health and Wellness, and published numerous studies on culturally relevant interventions to improve health outcomes for African American women. Her extensive experience in leadership roles, including Director of Outpatient Mental Health Centers and Principal Research Analyst at the American Institutes for Research, has emphasized the importance of culturally competent care for underserved populations. Underserved populations. Throughout her career, Dr. Porter has demonstrated exceptional leadership and a commitment to community health, securing multiple grants to support initiatives addressing hypertension and chronic disease risk factors among African American women. She has also made significant contributions to community health education, particularly during the COVID-19 pandemic. We're excited to have Dr. Porter share her experience and insights with us today. Now, Dr. Marilyn Gaston. She's a trailblazing physician, and she's a pioneering physician dedicated to enhancing healthcare access for disadvantaged and minority communities, both in the U.S. and around the globe. She's a public health leader. Dr. Gaston made history as the first African-American woman to lead a public health service bureau, managing a substantial $5 billion budget and providing vital health services to 12 million underserved individuals. She's an innovative researcher. Her groundbreaking work at the National Institutes of Health revolutionized the diagnosis of sickle cell disease in newborns, leading to significant reductions in the morbidity and mortality rates for affected children. Her recognized achievements as the only second African-American woman to hold the rank of Rear Admiral in the U.S. Public Health Service, Dr. Gaston has garnered international recognition for her impactful contributions to public health. Doc, we got some heavies. Community advocate, she was co-founded the Gaston and Porter Health Improvement Center. She focuses on addressing health disparities, particularly for African-American women, and has received numerous accolades for her successful health initiatives, including the acclaimed Primetime Sister Circles.
When I first...
That was the short version.
Yeah, that was the short version.
We're taking you on the road with us. Just know that. You're getting ready to lose him, Dr. Watkins, because he's going to be going with us.
We're going to come and film you introducing right, us, and exactly. We can play it before we get on the stage.
That's right.
But when I first met Dr. Gaston, she was Assistant Surgeon General of the United States, too. I just wanted to throw that in there.
Well, thank you very much.
You know, their head should be so heavy, it need a brace to hold them up, but, you know. But at any rate, well, so let's start out. What is hypertension, and how prevalent is it in this country?
Hypertension is when the pressure that comes when the heart beats and pushes the blood from the heart out into the body, that causes pressure, and it has a certain level it has to be at to be normal and to not cause harm to any organs or the blood vessels or anything. So hypertension means hypertension. There's too much pressure in the body. The heart is pumping when it goes, you know, boom, 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 boom. Yeah, when that first beat, that's the feel of the pressure. The second beat is when it relaxes. So when too much pressure, you can understand, just think of a hose as it goes through the blood vessels, like water goes through our water hoses. If you put too much pressure in that hose, it gets damaged. And pretty soon you'll have a bubble or a balloon in one spot, and then you'll have it burst, and you have all kinds of problems with that hose. And the older that hose is, the more apt it's have been damaged over and over and over again. So that can give you a picture that I think is pretty clear at this point. So that is what we talk about when the pressure in the blood vessels in the body is too high, then you can have a break. First, you can have an aneurysm, which is like a balloon of the body where it weakens. The blood vessel gets weaker and weaker from the pressure, and that can balloon out, and the pressure keeps going, and the pressure causes it to break and bleed. Now, you can imagine if that happens in your brain, your heart, your kidneys, your liver, your lungs, you have a major problem, health problem.
Major problem. So how, Dr. Porter, how prevalent, is this? And are there any racial and gender disparities?
Major.
That we call hypertension.
Right. Well, just looking at our U.S. population among Black people, over 52% of all Black people have hypertension, especially women, that it is a major issue for us. And what is more frightening, so we not only have the biggest disparity in terms of having more of it, but we have more of it that's uncontrolled. And that is something that we just don't talk about enough, that it's there and it's not controlled. And what are some of the factors that either increase or decrease our ability to control it? And that's one of the things that we really want to talk about, is what a major risk factor for increasing our hypertension and not controlling it is depression. And you that's know, why it, for it, us, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, I never really thought about hypertension having a role in things like depression. And one of my friends wanted to get some money for me for some of the projects. And his aunt was working at the National Institute for Mental Health. And he set up a meeting with me. And so she said, well, maybe we can get you some money for hypertension. I said, hypertension? What does hypertension have to do with mental health? She said, well, you know, most hypertension is called essential hypertension. Essential, meaning there is no primary reason for it, but we think that one of the major reasons is the mind, is that emotion. So what you're suggesting is that depression and hypertension are kissing cousins.
And what the data are starting to really document is that if you don't have your depression treated, not only does it make it more difficult for you to control the hypertension because you're not focused on it, but it also makes it more difficult for you to control some other things like dementia. We know there's a connection between hypertension and dementia. And now what we're seeing is this connection between depression and dementia. So all of these have to be addressed, and we're glad that you're giving an opportunity to really talk about it.
So you know, they say that hypertension is a silent killer, meaning that many people have hypertension and don't know they have it, or certainly don't know how bad it is. You know, what about dementia? Depression. How do you know that you're depressed? Because many people, others recognize they're depressed, but they don't recognize they're depressed. So how do you know that you're actually depressed?
Well, one of the reasons that it can be so difficult to identify is that it looks often very different in Black women and men than what we learned about in school 50 years ago. And so there are definitely some signs. One, your affect, that you just feel tired a lot of the times. You just don't feel in the mood to do anything. But when I was in school, we learned that women became more subdued, ate less, tended to be more passive. I can assure you, now that might be the case with some Black women, but most of us, we're eating more. As I tell women, we're looking for an $8 buffet where we can eat $80 worth of food.
Yes.
We don't tend to become more passive. We might become more aggressive. And so if we don't recognize those symptoms that we are feeling less active, less wanting to do anything, but we're eating more, we're feeling more aggressive at times, not more passive, and we're thinking about death, not necessarily suicide, but we're thinking about death. For our men, on the other hand, they're more apt to start being more addicted to substances. You'll see an increase in alcohol abuse or some other drugs. You'll see an increase in gambling. You'll see an increase in promiscuity, and you'll see an increase in thoughts about death, so and about suicide. And so the more we know what our symptoms are and that they might not look like what we are seeing on TV, because gambling is another issue also for our women. We see an increased amount of gambling, especially among older women, as they become depressed. So they're not talking about depression. They're not saying I'm depressed. But the more we know what the symptoms can be, the more we can do something about it.
So, and this is why do people become depressed? Why do people become depressed in the first place?
Well, there are a variety of reasons. One is stressful life events. Mm-hmm. If you lose a loved one, if you lose your job, we know that many of the federal employees are now going through major, major periods of depression. Sometimes it's genetic. If you have a strong family history of depression, you can have depression. There are medications that you can take. And that's why whatever medication you're on, you need to understand the side effects. Yes. So there are medications that you can take that will cause that alcohol abuse. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that you have to get drunk every night. But an abuse of alcohol, and now we know for women, it should be no more than two small glasses a night. And for men, no more than three. So all of those things, but some of the major issues are really with the stress that we experience in our lives and our lack of exercise, our lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. So there's always issues that we face. I tell people, you're going to have issues as long as you're breathing, everyone, when faced with issues, don't become depressed. You know, what is the factors that contributes to actually becoming depressed? You understand what I'm saying? You know, why is it when one person faces the issue, they become depressed and another person will not become depressed?
A lot of it has to do with mindset, so that you have some people where if an event occurs that is stressful for them, their way of handling that event is not to seek support from others. It's not to go to a therapist. It is more likely they become more isolated. They become more in the mindset of, things always happen to me. You know, there's a negative mindset that they bring into it. It's about whether or not they get good sleep or they don't. It's about whether or not they feel embarrassed or ashamed to share how they're feeling with others. And again, as I said, there is a genetic component. But most of what we do in terms of how we deal with any event, because we tell people, you're always going to have a stressful event. We found out our other computer wasn't working, so that meant Dr. Gaston and I had to be on one computer. That was stressful. But our belief that, well, it'll be okay. So your mindset really plays a role in terms of how you handle it and your willingness to acknowledge that you're feeling down and to seek some help.
Yeah, and have
and now I think more and more there's evidence that we're not socialized enough.
That's right.
And that is very important too, to prevent the depression.
Mm-hmm.
The more we're out and about with our friends, our family, everything, that's very important for us to prevent depression.
Mm-hmm. Having those outlets.
Yes.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, healthy outlets.
Healthy outlets, yes.
Yeah, not where you're going to gamble the little money that you have, right? So that you just wind up feeling worse.
More right. depressed.
Right, mm-hmm. right, right.
Mm-hmm.
So when is it important or needed for a person to seek some assistance in dealing with the depression?
Well, one of the main reasons that you are going to want to look is when you start seeing that you're not able to function effectively in certain areas. So when you start noticing that you're having problems with your job, that you're having problems in your relationships, that more and more you want to try to avoid relationships, and that you're having more and more difficulty sleeping or you're sleeping too much. So that these are all the reasons why it is so important that you get the help that you need, because it's probably not going to get better. And in fact, you know, we're doing a webinar called Breaking the Cycle, Reducing the Impact of Depression on Hypertension, Dementia, and Aging. We're going to be, it's free on June the 10th at 7 o'clock, because we really want people to understand that depression is something that we can't ignore. And when 52% of the population has hypertension, of our population, and we know that depression makes a difference in whether or not we can control it or not, we can't afford to ignore what is a major issue.
And I think your number is probably a bit low.
Yeah.
Yes. From what I see in my population, I tell people, I'm one of the few people who are not on hypertensive medication when I go in a room. You know, it's just really, really, really ridiculous. And so this is outstanding. When is this conference coming up?
It's a webinar. It's June the 10th at 7 p.m. And we will give out the information if people would like to register for it. As I said, it's completely free. And they can go to www.gastonandporter.org, or they can give us a call, 301-765-1942. But we really want to make it clear that there are these links. Dr. Gaston had talked about the connection between dementia and hypertension, which doesn't get enough attention.
Uncontrolled hypertension.
I'm sorry?
Uncontrolled hypertension. And that I want the audience to understand the difference between controlled hypertension and uncontrolled hypertension.
Well, break that down a little bit more.
Okay. Well, first of all, when I stand up to talk about hypertension, I ask my favorite question of the group. How many have a blood pressure monitor and cuff and are monitoring your own blood pressure?
And you're using it.
Using it.
Right.
Right.
Have one.
And how often are you using
That's
it?
Right. That's right. That's right.
So the fact of the matter is, now it's getting harder and harder to get appointments. and certainly in getting further and further apart. And you can't sit and wait 6 months between visits for somebody to take your blood pressure.
That's right.
You have to know at least weekly. I try to know daily. And there's no question it's very important, because when there's a pressure that goes higher and higher and higher and higher, if you don't know that's happening, you could have a stroke. Mm-hmm. I talked about the fact earlier about you could have an aneurysm and it could break and you could have a bleed. That's going to cause a stroke. It's going to cause all kinds of damage to your brain. And you can have even little things, these little events happen throughout the brain, causing the dementia and the depression too.
That's right.
You know, one of the things that I see often with patients that come in is that they're on hypertensive medications, sometimes two and three, and yet they don't monitor their pressure. Mm-hmm. All right. And I tell them that that's ridiculous. You need to know your blood pressure, but you also need to know your pulse rate. And I think that's a problem with doctors. We don't stress enough that patients need to monitor their pulse rate, because their heart rate is important. Your pressure can be normal, your heart rate is up. There's a problem there. We need to find it. We need to find out what it is. You know, hypotension can be as damaging to the brain as hypertension.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and people need to understand that. And so I'm glad
that
you
said. What is hypotension?
Low blood pressure.
Yeah.
Blood pressure too low, mm-hmm. you know, for that individual. And you know, you're on these medications and you may have a drink, you may do something else that can drop your blood pressure. In addition to the blood pressure medicine, your blood pressure dropped too low, blood doesn't get to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And there can cause problems. And so you need to be aware of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to mention another problem with blood getting to the brain, since we've been on this little topic. As we age,
yes.
As we age, we become heavier in our weight. We become less active in our movements. We do more sitting, more resting in bed, etc. That's a problem, because you know, every day we're also fighting with gravity, and gravity is holding, you know, our blood more towards our feet and our legs. And if you don't move those muscles in the leg are so important to help push that blood up to these chronic organs that need the blood. They need the oxygen and the nutrients in the blood to stay healthy. You've got to go, if when you're sitting, your blood is in your feet and your legs, and it's not going to your heart, your liver, first it's not going to your kidneys, your liver, your lungs, your heart, and then last is the brain. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't get to the brain, you can just understand why you have problems with it as we age. So I want to emphasize over and over and over and over. Now you hear we need to exercise. We should be doing that from the time we can walk.
Mm-hmm.
Do as much movement as possible. And even more as we get older.
You know, one of the simple things that I've observed is I watch my patients stand up.
Mm-hmm.
And I generally tell them to sit back down and then stand up without using your hands.
Yes, yes.
Because they're pushing themselves up with their hands because their legs are so weak. Mm-hmm. And the legs are weak because they're doing what? They're not using the legs.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to start using those legs and those muscles as we contract them. As you said, it helps to push that blood back to the heart. And, you know, because we don't have as many of the muscles around the veins as we do around the arteries. And so we need to help that blood to move back to the heart. So now.
But can I just add,
it not only helps with all of these physical issues like hypertension, exercise has a major positive effect on depression.
All right.
It has a major positive effect on reducing the chances of dementia starting early. So that when we talk about exercising, we're not talking about people having to run a marathon. You can do 30 minutes, 15 at a time, 15 minutes in the morning, 15 in the afternoon. If you don't feel safe in your neighborhood, we have our women in our primetime sister circles. They learn how to walk around in their house. If you've got a studio, you can still walk around.
Mm-hmm.
So that when we say that exercise and, of course, changing your diet, because our diets are killing us, and they're not just killing us physically, they're killing us emotionally.
Yeah.
So that when you're overweight, when you are eating this processed foods, you're eating pork and beef, that you wind up having major
Please don't leave out chicken.
But see, I know we can't introduce everything at one time, right?
All right. But it's so important because we talk about pork and beef, and I recognize they're important. But I've seen too many studies that show that chicken is worse than beef.
And
yet people think that it's all right. It's not all right, especially the way it is prepared. Produced.
Well, see, that's what
and prepared.
Yeah. The frying of the chicken, which is something that people have grown up with. But we tell them just start in moderation. Okay. We know you're probably not going to get rid of everything, but if you can just get rid of that pork, beef, and fried chicken, you made a major, major shift toward being healthy.
All right.
Really want to emphasize this dementia because we are now seeing such a development, a drastic development in dementia among our people, that we get Alzheimer's faster. And when we say dementia, what I'm talking about is the inability to function cognitively and often even in a motorized way because you're having some issues related to your brain. And we're seeing that if you don't have that depression treated, if you don't have your hypertension under control, you're going to see earlier and earlier rates of dementia. And so if that's something we hear people, they're afraid of it. But again, there are things we can do about it if we're willing to do it and to do it early.
You know, it's interesting. We used to always talk about Alzheimer's and we would relate it to aluminum and lead and so forth. But I like to talk about cardiogenic dementia, where they've looked at the cross section of the arteries in the brain of people who die of Alzheimer's, and they see that those arteries look just like the arteries of a person's heart who die of a heart attack. You know, the buildup of plaque and so forth. Mm-hmm. And the beauty is that if we can reverse heart disease with diet and exercise and so forth, we can prevent and even in some cases, reverse early dementia with the same kind of tools. And but I want you all to talk a little bit more about this connection between depression and dementia and hypertension, if you would.
Well, I can tell you with depression and dementia, there have now been three major studies that have looked at dementia over a 20-year period. And what they found was that those people who were depressed when they were in their 30s and 40s and had it treated were significantly less likely to have dementia when they were in their 70s and 80s. Mm. And part of the connection is that if you are depressed, again, you're more apt to sometimes isolate yourself socially. You're much more apt to eat inappropriately, to not get good sleep, to to not take care of things like hypertension. You know, you're more apt to forget to take your medicine or to not exercise. And so all of those are things that contribute to changes in the vessels that Dr. Gaston talked about, you know, that you're not getting the amount of blood flow, the appropriate amount, right? And so this is one of the reasons that we're seeing this connection. And when it comes to hypertension and dementia,
Well, that's another thing, because as we mentioned, as we age, the pressure over time, over your whole life, your blood vessels have been sustaining the pressure they're under when the heart beats, okay, the blood pressure. And if the heart stays high most of your life, well, you know, you have a lot of damage to those vessels. So they begin to leak, they begin to break, and you have blood, you have bleeding in the brain. And you know that how much damage that is doing.
Mm-hmm. You can have little mini.
So you have to know right away what your blood pressure is and control it. That is absolutely essential, not only to protect your brain, but also your heart and other organs.
And this is where depression comes in, because again, when you're depressed, you're not thinking about that. You know, you're not thinking, I need to take my blood pressure in the morning and in the evening. Mm-hmm. You're not thinking that I need to exercise. You're not thinking about eating properly. You're not thinking about the fact that there is this connection between how I feel and what I'm telling my doctor, what I'm telling other people in my life. So that when you're depressed, all of these things that you need to be taking care of, they don't happen. And that's why for us, this breaking this cycle, because we don't want to see this continue in our community, mm-hmm. at the rate that it's going. You know, more and more, if you look at the data, more and more of our folk are hypertensive, are depressed, and are showing signs of Alzheimer's. And I just want to make clear to the audience, Alzheimer's is a form of dementia. Dementia is like the broad category.
Yes.
And there are various types of dementia. Alzheimer's is the one that most of us are most familiar with.
And the most common. And it's very interesting. I'm developing this health and fitness club, and I sort of as a pilot, I'm having some of my patients call me because, see, to me, it's important to control, but I like to go even further to reverse hypertension, you know,
yes.
Because some of the medication that we're taking are contributing to that depression that we're suffering. And what I've observed is when these people call me and those pressures start coming down, there's a lightness in their voice, you know, yes. Their spirit is lifted. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I've observed it, but when you all talk about this relationship, depression and hypertension, I think that I'm seeing that just with these patients, and maybe I need to get you all in, help me to look at this this aspect of it, because I haven't been actually looking at that. I've just been looking at the fact that the blood pressure is coming down, the blood sugar is coming down, and the kidneys are improving. But hey, the depression is probably also decreasing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in fact, what we've had three papers published in the last 2 years about this very topic. The first one was published in JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, which documented the relationship between uncontrolled hypertension and depression. Mm. The next two papers documented that our Primetime Sister Circle program impacted on hypertension and on depression, that our women who all had uncontrolled hypertension when the study started. It was a 5-year study. We got funded through NIH, and we did it with Hopkins. that after that period of time, our women showed significant drops in their level of uncontrolled hypertension, showed significant drops in their level of depression. So we know that it can make a difference if you are involved in programs like the one it sounds like you're talking about, and certainly at our Primetime Sister Circle, that you can see a positive change in that.
In but once fact, again, when is, when like,
go ahead.
Just quickly, we would like the entire health profession to, as we're aging or even younger, really routinely when they come in the doctor's office, like they get the blood pressure taken, then you always get your blood pressure taken. We want them to also take depression scale, standardized depression scale, because now they're just asking questions like, are you sad? Do you think of killing yourself? Things like that. There are excellent scales that really measure that,
mm-hmm.
and you can track it every time they come in. And we're trying to figure out how we can get this out to everybody and get them motivated to detect depression most of the time.
That's why we're hoping you will join us for our webinar, Breaking the Cycle: Reducing the Impact of Depression on Hypertension, Dementia, and Aging. Mm-hmm. Again, it's going to be on June the 10th. It's at 7 p.m. and it is completely free. You can just go to www.gastonandporter.org, or you can call 301-765-1942 and get register for it and become part of what we're hoping you'll be as our revolutionaries, taking this information first to yourselves and using it, but then taking it out into the world.
Mm-hmm. So that's next week, yes. Tuesday.
That's next, yeah. Right, June the 10th. And yeah. So we're hoping
put that down on your calendar. Is there a limit to the number of people?
No. There's no, it's unlimited, and because we know that we cannot continue to have our level of hypertension and dementia increase at the rate that it's increasing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that this is so dangerous to us as a community. We have survived too many things to wind up having our health be a major factor and why we don't continue to thrive. We can't do that.
So if a person is 50, 65, can they make changes that will impact their depression, their hypertension, and a dementia at that state?
Absolutely.
Yes.
They can make mm-hmm. changes in terms of their lifestyle, how they eat, what they eat, their exercise level. They can make changes in terms of whether they need to have some medication, at least through the acute stages of what they're going through. And they can make changes in terms of their social interactions. This social isolation is a major risk factor for all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So doing things that they enjoy are ways that they can improve in all of these areas.
And knowing your own blood pressure is important.
It's critical.
Right. You need to know it every week at a minimum. So taking it at least once a week, but I recommend every other day to really know at any point in time where your blood. That's what having a controlled blood pressure means. That you know your blood pressure and you're keeping it at the normal level.
Yes.
That seems to be a question, for us.
Yeah. What's the optimal heart rate?
It's less than 90. I know that. It's
like 60 to 90. And I try to get my patients as close to 60 as possible.
Right, right.
Then the heart is beating very efficiently. And you know, so 60 to 90 is
and it can change a little over time depending on your age, right?
Well, but it's interesting. It's interesting though, when I get my patients to walking and getting that blood pressure down, the heart also comes down.
And you'll find, well, before we go, Dr. Watkins, this has been wonderful. We want to thank you so much, but we have a poem we would like to read to our audience. And again, we invite you to join us on June the 10th at 7 o'clock for Breaking the Cycle, Reducing the Impact of Depression on Hypertension, Dementia, and Aging. And you can go to our website, www.gastonandporter, spell out the and, .org. But if we can we take a few moments just to read our poem? Because we think that it really just embodies everything we've been talking about and everything that you do on your show every week.
All right.
Okay.
Your event for men and women?
Yes, our event is for men and women, and it's for people of any age and of any race or ethnicity. Because this is something we want all of the folk in our world and any other world to know about.
All right.
Thank you. Name of our poem is called Reaching the North Star by Becky Bertha, and it's called Poem for Flight. There will come a day, it's not far off now, when you wake in the morning and know that you were meant to be happy and healthy. And then you want it more than you want things or memories or any concrete place called home. You want it more than all the strings of the past that fasten you, more than you want justice or even pride, or even your old clay image of yourself, or the faint chance that all that has gone wrong may still change.
It is you who hold the power to change. And whatever it is that holds you, whatever it is you think you cannot live without, the time has come to open your hands and let it go. Run, flee, disappear, break loose, take wing, fly by night, move like a meteor, be gone. If you fear it will never be possible, think of Harriet Tubman, who traveled alone the first time, who finally freed 300 people, but first had to free herself. There's a Harriet in all of us, and we must take the opportunity to finally free her.
So mercy. Thank
you. Yes. This is from our book, Prime Time, The African-American Woman's Guide. But again, we hope to have all of you join with us on June the 10th at 7 p.m. And again, you can talk about breaking this cycle that we have spent too much time trying to defeat and yet not using the tools available to us to do it. And our website again is www.gastonandporter.org. And our number is 301-765-1942.
All right, this has been extremely beneficial. Now, if you know, one of the things that we didn't talk about is people with depression having a therapist.
Yes, and we actively encourage you for. There are, first of all, I want to say, if you have insurance, you tell your insurance company you would like to get the names of some therapists in your areas. Often I've found that for people of color, especially African Americans, they're more comfortable with African American therapists. And you can go online to the Association of Black Psychologists and find a whole list of therapists in your area. You can also find Association of Black Social Workers. But in my own experience, I have had therapists who have been African-American who were wonderful. I've had therapists who have been Caucasian who were wonderful. So the first thing is to try and get the right person for you. And remember, it might not work the way you'd like for it to work at first, mm-hmm. but it is the kind of thing where you fight for it the same way most people would fight for their children.
You know,
and counseling does work.
It does.
One of the things that we have to do is get over the stigma.
Exactly. Yes.
We have to get over the stigma. I know at one point we were having some marital issues, and the psychologist called me and asked me, did I want to save my marriage? I said, so she said, well, when can you see me? I said, well, that's the problem. I don't have any time. You know, I'm just working like a dog. Well, if you didn't have time in your busy schedule, if you had time in your busy schedule, what time would it be? I said, oh, it'd have to be like 6 or 7 in the morning. Well, can you meet me tomorrow at 7?
That's right. That's right.
When I went to that therapist, I fell in love because she listened to me and then she whipped my behind.
Right. Yeah. That's the kind of good therapy that you want. That's good.
We need to get over the stigma of going to a therapist.
Yeah. Dr. Watkins, this is the one thing I admire about Jay-Z, is the fact that he came out and acknowledged that it was therapy that saved, as he put it, the best thing that had ever happened to him. So if Jay-Z can come out and publicly acknowledge that he used therapy to change his mind, there should be no reason why anybody else can't say that this is what they need. And I see Mr. Smith, who, by the way, is just wonderful to work with. I mean, yes, it's always such a joy to be on your show and to work with you and to work
Look
with
at
Mr.
That
Smith.
Smile.
Yes, great.
Thank you.
My brother from That's another right. mother. Well, we just want to thank you. And once again, give the information. And we want people to take advantage of this free, Lord.
Free. It's breaking the cycle, reducing the impact of depression on hypertension, dementia, and aging. It is June the 10th at 7 p.m., and you can register on our website, Gaston and Porter, spell out the and.org. And we are just delighted at the prospect of seeing you. And if you have any questions, please call us at 301-765-1942.
Say that again.
301-765-1942.
Outstanding.
And Dr. Watkins, we thank you so much for this opportunity to present this data.
It's my pleasure. My pleasure always having you ladies. And I don't understand, how come y'all not aging? I mean,
numerically we are. So we thank you for this other compliment.
I think Brother Frank, they're practicing what they preach.
We're doing that.
Yes,
we all right, do. All right, all right. Thank
sure.
you so much.
We want to thank you again for
stay
being
well. Stay
thank
well.
Thank you, Doc, for having them again. If you want to talk to my doctor, call 202-388-0992. Tuesdays through Thursdays, 10 to 5. And or you can go to www.twiliving.com. Mm-hmm. That's www.twiliving.com. We want to also thank our engineers. Cody is on the board today. We want to thank the entire WPFW staff, including the leaders, the programmers, the engineers, the volunteers, and our loyal listeners, and our contributors, for sure. We thank you, Joni Eisenberg, for making DC healthy. And thank you, Ola Dari and Maccabee, for your musical contributions. Stay tuned to WPFW Jazz and Justice Radio. Next up is African Deep Thought Edition with Brother Kaba. After that is To the East with Ambrose Lane Jr. Listen in again next week, next Monday at 2 o'clock. for another life-saving broadcast of To Your Health.
And ladies, we want you to come back and give us an update. All right.
All right. We would love that.
And we didn't get a chance to open up the phones because we want to get the information, but we want to do that next time also.
All right. That looks good. Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks again.
All right. Good
Bye.
Day.
Bye.
Salamata. I tell and a vegan, we're vegan. I and I eat from the earth and need the animals to give birth. No deaders, no fur, no feathers. When I tell people I don't eat meat, fish or dairy, then look for me strangely. Then I realize I eat a very wide variety. Listen to Maccabee. Yo, how when me eat, them I wonder when me eat. When me tell him say me no eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat, them I wonder when me yum. When me tell him say that I'm a vegan, man. How when me eat, them I wonder when me eat. When me tell him say me no eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat, them I wonder when me yum. When me tell him say that I'm a vegan. When me no eat no meat, no fish, no cheese, nah, no egg. Nothing with no foot, no eye, no wing, nah, no head. Nothing with no lip, no ears, no tongue, nah, no leg. Prefer fruit and vegetables instead. Be careful and me choose about what I'm eating. Me medicine, me food is me.
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. Jewish leaders have called for action against attacks on their community in view of rising violence and threats. Over the weekend, a man used a flamethrower and Molotov cocktails to set people on fire at a Jewish community event in Boulder, Colorado. The event was being held in support of hostages in Gaza. The attacker injured at least 8 people, ranging in age from 52 to 88, including a Holocaust survivor. Today, 6 of the 8 victims have been released from the hospital, while 2 remain in critical condition but are expected to survive. The FBI identified the lone suspect as Mohammed Sabri Soleiman, who was in the United States illegally. According to the authorities, Soleiman entered the U.S. in August of 2022 on a non-immigrant visitor visa that expired in February of 2023. Mohammed Soleiman, who planned this attack for a year, has been charged with a federal hate crime. Russian and Ukrainian delegates met in Istanbul, Turkey today for their second set of direct peace talks, a day after Kyiv launched a shock drone attack on Russia's nuclear-capable bombers. This operation was a year and a half in the making, according to Ukraine's president, Volodymyr Zelensky. Although both sides agreed to work on a new prisoner exchange, statements from the two sets of delegations suggested that not much had been achieved to bridge the gap between their positions, particularly on the matter of a ceasefire. The initial round of peace talks held in Istanbul last month were the first between the two warring countries since shortly after Russia's full-scale invasion in Ukraine in February 2022. It has been 104 years since the deadly Tulsa Race Massacre in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which took place from May 31st to June 1st of 1921. It is considered one of the worst incidents of racial violence in America. It all started when a young black man was accused of assaulting a young white woman, which led to a 2-day massacre where mobs of white men were deputized and given authority to attack black residents. The massacre left between 30 and 300 people dead, mostly African Americans, and destroyed Tulsa's affluent black neighborhood of Greenwood, which was known as Black Wall Street. Now, Tulsa's first black mayor, Monroe Nichols IV, has proposed a reparations plan. He discussed it in a press conference yesterday.
I'm announcing that my office has been working alongside our legal department on the establishment of the Greenwood Trust, a private charitable trust that will raise and facilitate the investment of $105 million in private funds along our road to repair, restoration, and rights.
Mayor Nichols clarified that the Greenwood Trust would not involve direct cash payments, but would instead be used to provide scholarships and housing to the descendants of those impacted by the Tulsa Race Massacre. In the D.C. area, the nation's capital is being sued for not doing enough to help blind pedestrians cross the street safely. the federal suit, which has been filed on behalf of the D.C. Council of the Blind and five plaintiffs, claims that the plaintiffs' civil rights are being violated under the Americans with Disabilities Act because blind residents and visitors are being harmed by the insufficient amount of accessible pedestrian signals at the district's 1,600 signalized intersections. The accessible pedestrian signals communicate traffic safety information through a variety of non-visual formats, including a verbal command of wait and rapid beeps when the green walk light is illuminated, providing guidance to cross the street safely. The lawsuit claims that blind pedestrians who must spend extra time or money